these trees would be a great thing to send out now.
That's one I was looking at. Now, cross checking our township.
Morning.
How you doing? Okay. We will call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, 8:45 on Wednesday, October 1st, 2014. Please stand with me and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, it just makes it simple.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted behind the media table. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Next on the agenda is a consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes of the meeting held September 17th, 2014, approve all claims through October 1st, 2014 in the amount of $643,291.66, approve and place on file all correspondence received, approve verifying sheriff's distress warrant report, approve canceling check number 14090059 to Provision Video Systems in the amount of $15. Approve utility permit 1004, Windstream Nebraska Inc. to splice into an existing cable in a road and bore under the road to provide service to Jennifer Ewer in the northwest quarter of Section 13. And the northeast quarter of Section 14, Township 6, North Range 8 East. That's in Adams Township. Approve utility permit 1005 to Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. to bore 310 feet of cable in the north ditch, 25 feet below the creek bottom due to a county project. Approve utility permit 1006, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. to plow 240 feet of cable to replace bad cable in the north shoulder of the road in the southwest quarter of Section 12, Township 2 North, Range 8 East. That's in Island Grove Township. Those are the items 1 through 9. That's part of the consent agenda. I need a motion to approve or disapprove or consider something separately.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn.
Yep. Just have a quick comment.
Yes, sir.
In the claims this month, we did pay off one of our highway bonds in the amount of $191,523, and that was a 2009 bond that they did part of the Zion Church Road and down there by the Weimar Golf Course. And we did approve that resolution here a couple meetings ago to do that. And that claim has come through. That's why it's as large as it is.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next, we'll jump into the regular agenda. As part of the regular agenda, we start off with comments from the public, requests for future agenda items, anything you'd like to discuss related to the Board of Supervisors regular meeting. And if someone should come in later, then we'll come back and ask for some more comments. I see nobody at this point. We'll jump right into committee reports. Building and grounds.
Nothing new.
Equalization. Finance and insurance?
One of the things we talked about is, and I need to get together with Gus here. Hopefully I'll stop after our meeting today. And then and Galen, and we're going to do, through this Verizon check with the vehicles or whatever, they're going to allow us to do 6 to 8 vehicles on a couple months here, interim basis, to see how it works and stuff. So I'm going to get together with you guys both today and hopefully pick out some vehicles that we can turn into them. They'll come down and hook them up and stuff. So then also I want to report a little bit on Engage. I talked to some guys here, some of the board, a little bit. This Friday, October 3rd, they have what they call a manufacturing luncheon they're hosting out at Classic. And the interim director of Nebraska Economic Development, I can't remember her name right now, is supposed to be the speaker with that, and it's for businesses. And everybody's invited if you want to or whatever. But then also, Glennis has been working on the last 2 months, and particularly the last 2 weeks. It was a recertification for the city of Beatrice through the state to recertify as an economic, as to have their economic status recertified, and this is every 5 years. And we're and this makes a difference as far as on their websites and stuff that, that you are a certified city or whatever, and that was due here yesterday or whatever and stuff. So she did get that paperwork all done. That took a lot of paperwork and updating. She worked with Tobias and other people and did get that done so that hopefully then it's got to be approved, you know, or whatever, the recertification. And they said normally they come back and ask some questions or whatever, but it's something that's pretty important to have done. More important, it's important that you didn't get it done. I mean, it's you needed this done to help our area with the state economic development. It's a program that they have. Then the other thing, and I told Matt here a little bit, and at our last meeting somebody brought up that we have a three-year contract, Engage has a three-year contract with the city and with Gage County, and that is up for renewal in July of 15, which isn't that far away. When they first mention it, you don't think of it, but yeah. And so we will, you know, visit with the city or work so that we don't get that approved in October, so hopefully we'll get it approved before July and stuff. But that's something that'll be on the radar here the next 6-8 months. So, and also to get feedback from, I guess, the public and from board members. And I know Glennis will be here a time or two to visit about it, too, and stuff, so that I guess it's probably good just even if the city and the county got together as a committee and reviewed it and see if we need to adjust it or what we've done. So,
I think it'd probably be good that maybe we reached out to the city and said, can we sit down and have representatives from the county sit down with the city? If we reached out to them and said, can, let's talk about this and see what we can do together.
I'll start visiting with Bob and then see here at our next meeting when we can set something up here maybe yet and stuff. So we do that this winter and stuff, have a...
Good.
A meeting together. Good idea.
As part of Finance Committee, something I want to bring up is the probation space lease that we released the space from the city. I got a call from Tobias a couple weeks ago, and I got an email that showed up yesterday just with the attachment here. Roger also received it, and so we won't take any action today. I wasn't able to get it on the agenda, but it looks like the term would just, again, be for another year, and the dollar amount would stay the same, $15,600. So think about that. Dawn's made copies for everyone. I'll have her get you a copy today so you can look at it. But Roger's got the new version, and so we'll look for that for approval in 2 weeks. So that's all I had.
Okay. Can work an antenna and do this.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Kathy, anything with employee relations or... Okay, law enforcement, emergency management?
Not a whole lot. Matt, I don't know if you want to want to cover the communications discussion that was had this last week or if we got anything that come from that.
We can just talk briefly. We met with the city just with the communications, and there was some discussion about one of the towers that they wanted to take down, a charter tower, just to move some of the equipment, and some of our communication still relies on that at this point. So we'll continue visit with them and how important that is for us to continue to have that at this point. There is a dollar amount on there that we'll probably pay. I think it's like about $2,500. And so it's at this point we still need that for our system. So as you know, with the communications, as we migrate from one system to another, there's still you want to make sure you don't shut something off you shouldn't. So we're still working on trying to get there. So we'll probably see a claim come through. That would be the annual bill to maintain that tower. So we had that discussion with them. So, other than that, that's really about all I had for that. We'll talk about later. We'll talk about discussion and the security process in the courthouse, and we put that last because that'll probably be the biggest discussion. So,
all right. Our director is looking very much over the back of the room. Did you have anything?
Okay. Watching the water rise, maybe?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. We do have a timed event at 9 o'clock. That'll be in about 5 minutes, so we'll bounce ahead a little bit here and try to knock some of our other things off on the agenda, but we will come back. So if we're in the middle and I interrupt you, just you've been forewarned, okay? I'll interrupt you. Terry, Road and Bridge. I always have to tell
Matt.
You because I'm always interrupting you. So.
Just a report. Of course, weather has stopped a lot of the progress out there that we're doing. The Philly North Bridge, everything is poured. The few of the, I think the forms had to be removed yet, and that's probably done by now since we spoke Monday. And then it's just a matter of guardrails, landscaping, and then I think the other highway crew, they have to pour the rest of the concrete on both sides. And that's the same crew that's doing the two-mile section on South 66. And there again, too, hasn't went real well because of the weather, the rain. They've had a hard time getting a good start on that. So hopefully the weather cooperates. And in the next week or so for the farmers and those people both, we can everybody get to moving. Liberty Northwest Bridge that we're doing ourselves, coming along good, just has some guardrail to weld, dirt work to do, and approach rails left to do, and then that bridge will be finished. The first of the three main culverts on the Liberty Wymore Road, I think, are in, and I did speak to the asphalt foreman yesterday. I think they did lay that final coat on top or the asphalt on top of it so it was sealed up and done. They had discussion on weight limits, and we'll have a discussion on that further down in our meeting. It's just a deal where we have to kind of keep everything uniform, and like I say, we've got some paperwork here we'll go over later on about the weight limits and some suggestions we have to do on those. Rock and gravel, of course, that's up for approval. We also have some paperwork Galen brought us here this morning. We'll talk about that as far as the tree removal, some township material we can send out, and hopefully everybody can sign. It might help as far as tree removal out there for the townships. Basically, that's it. Like I say, right now, the crew is going around inspecting bridges. That's got to be in just shortly to the state for the annual inspection. So,
I know you got more, but we'll come back to it.
Okay, I got more. Yeah,
that'll be the shortest report we've ever had from Durgan's over there. So we'll come back. Just a couple minutes here. I will jump here to approve or disapprove receiving the treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county which remain unsold for want of bidders, and directing the county treasurer to issue a county sales tax on the delinquent taxes. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
I'd move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Any discussion? None vote. 7-0 to approve. Let's see. Approve. We'll move again here. Approve or disapprove a resolution to begin foreclosure proceeding on parcels of property not sold for want of bidders.
And that will be 14-24.
Resolution 14-24.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. I'm shuffling my papers here. We've got a timed event at 9 o'clock, and it's 8:59, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into that. Less than a minute away. This is our Veterans Honors program we do every month. We appreciate the service of our men and women who have served their country and served as veterans. Today I'll call forward Phil Dittbrenner as our Veterans Service Officer to make our presentation today. Phil, thank you.
Good morning. This month, October already, we have the honor and pleasure of recognizing Lloyd D. Lane, longtime resident of Gage County. He joined the Army in November of 1943 and served till January of 1946 and got his honorable discharge. He served in the Pacific Theater of Operations with the 925th AAA Automatic Weapons Battalion. Battles and campaigns he was involved in was Bismarck Archipelago, Northern Solomons, and Southern Philippines. His medals and awards are the Asiatic Pacific Service Medal, Philippine Liberation Medal with one Bronze Star, World War II Victory Medal, and the Good Conduct Medal. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce Lloyd Lane. It's my pleasure to give this to you, present this to you from the county board. And if you want to give a few words about your time in the service, we would appreciate it.
Well, I step up right there. Get a little closer to the mic.
I don't have too much to say right now, but then I might in the future. I kind of got caught off balance a little bit. But I appreciate this very, very much. So I want to thank the whole board to accept my appreciation. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
On behalf of the county, I'd like to have you accept this as a token of our appreciation for years of service. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lloyd's been a neighbor of mine since I was a little kid, so I know him well. So he's a great guy.
Terry Jurgens.
Terry, yep. There you go. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank you, Terry.
Yep. You bet.
Lloyd and I go back many, many years serving on Sertoma board together. Almost to the beginning, we were charter members of the Beatrice Sertoma Club. So Lloyd has done a lot for our community.
Thank you to everyone who shows up and comes to these little brief little acknowledgments of our veterans. It's always nice to see and the appreciation people have in the community. Thank you all for showing up. All right. We'll go ahead and move forward here. Next, we have approve or disapprove the EMS agreements between Gage County and the Pickerel Rural Fire Board, the City of Wymore. A motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Myron, seconded by Hill.
Dorn.
John was so quiet over there. I could.
That was slow. Is this the final ones of all of them, or do we still have? Do you know? Do we still have?
Cortland still out there?
I think we got Cortland last time.
About last
I think
time
so.
Cortland,
I think
so
we should be about done.
About done with all of them.
I'll check the shirt.
I did have a discussion with a gentleman from the Cortland Fire Board regarding the Cortland and the annual report. They are looking for some sort of direction as to what exactly you want in that. And I said, well, there was an independent EMS group a year and a half, 2 years ago that said they were going to get together. And we said, well, that'd be a great place for them to kind of, you know, tell your story, just a little narrative about, you know, maybe volumes of runs, some of the hardships they run into with getting volunteers to serve, the requirements and things like that. And they're just, since we added that need for that annual report, we added a little more teeth in that because we weren't always getting what we needed. And so they do want a little bit of direction. So I'm going to kind of go through some of the older material we had when we had that EMS group and, you know, come up with maybe 5 or 6 points. I said, it'd be nice to have like a run volume, the number of people on your squad. We don't need specific names and more of a narrative, kind of tell their story. This is some of the stuff we go through. I said, you know, we are sending out taxpayer dollars. There are requirements in there, but it's nice to get a little how things are going. I'm not suggesting everybody do as fabulous a job as Beatrice does. You know, they have a really nice report. That's nice to have, but that's probably beyond maybe some of the needs of some of the smaller squads out there. But they are looking for some direction, so I'll draft something together and let everyone look at that. If you think of things, shoot me an email, say, hey, we ought to have this, we ought to have that. There's no resistance to doing it. They just said, well, what are you looking for? So I thought, well, we could just send them out. Here's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And if they all look a little bit different but the flavor is similar, then I think that's fine. But we should get something. Just FYI.
You know, what happens each time they send in their pay claim, their minutes from their meeting and what they vote to spend their money on and things like that. So we always get that.
That's good. Yeah.
From Adams.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to approve the EMS agreements again with Pickerel Rural Fire Board and the City of Wymore. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Let's see. Do we want to turn Terry loose on county roads, weight limits yet, or do we want to wait? If we start him now, we can cut him off in 9 minutes. We didn't get another time to bend. No. Let's see. We can, let's do the, pardon me, I'm bouncing around here. Is Jane Ford coming today?
Down she was.
Was she? Okay, all right.
I haven't heard of
her. She's up in Creek.
That's
probably got washed away in Creek.
Could have.
Okay. Well, let's approve or disapprove rock and gravel bids. Galen, can you come help us with that? You've got, I guess we'll start, I think, a motion to approve or disapprove. I know we accepted all of them, but.
I make a motion to approve.
By Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Let's have a discussion for approval.
Okay, the bids that we got, A-Sand and Gravel, they didn't bid in the spring, but they did bill a bid for this fall. They come in at $980 a ton, then consolidated. This is the Alex Pit, and this is the wash gravel, just like A-Sand and Gravel. Wash gravel come in at $985. That's the same price as what they bid in the spring. And also consolidated sand and gravel with the Pal Pit, which is the bank run gravel, was bid in at $960 on that. The only rock bid that we got was from Sites Quarry Beatrice Concrete, and it came in at $1,345, which was the same price in the spring on that. We did not receive any bids from the Kerford or DuBois Rock for any prices on the rock from them. I don't know why we didn't receive any, because bid documents were sent out to all the suppliers from the spring. So,
yeah, I want to bring up one thing here. A-Sand and Gravel is the low bid, although you'll notice that the pit price is higher. It's the trucking cost, the firm that's hauling for them, that makes it cheaper for the townships. So the pit price at consolidated stay the same. The other thing I want to mention is, the supply at A Sand and Gravel, you know, the last I knew was very minimal. You know, I think the quality's there now. We had a few issues, but the supply there is minimal. I've been hearing this for the last 2 years or a year or long. If he's found a different vein there to operate out of, that could be. But I mean, as our main supplier, I doubt if this is going to be it. But he is the low cost right now, so we'll go there as long as he's got material.
And on his bid document, it did say that was good until the pit does run out.
Yeah.
And then he's done. So.
And we've kind of been staring down this barrel for a
yeah.
few years
yeah.
now. We kind of know this is it's an issue with most counties that are just running out of places to get stuff. So. All right, so those are – so basically what we're going to be approving is accepting all bids because
yep.
when somebody runs out, we've got to go to the next supplier. So,
yep.
All right, so we have a motion and a second to approve. Any further discussion? Thank you, Galen.
Yep.
Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. That would be wonderful for you to announce that.
You want me to?
Madam Clerk.
Okay. If anyone wants to sign up to speak in the one of the two public hearings, there's a clipboard there on the table that has a sheet for each one. So at any time, you can sign the sheet.
If you don't sign up, Tracy, I'll call you. Okay. Okay, next timed event, is it... 5 minutes would be snow removal bids. And I know Davey's just chomping at the bit to get all this stuff ready for this winter, and I told him to knock it off, but he really wants to get the snow removal stuff going.
Jane has shown up.
Jane Ford, you want to visit with us about public health solutions? Welcome. Did you come in your canoe?
Yes, I did. Hearing all this warning was a little disconcerting. I'm real pleased to be here today. Jane Ford, Public Health Solutions Director. And I have nothing but good things to say today. How about that? We've been fortunate. We've been working really hard addressing our priorities this past year. And those are increasing preventative health services, increasing access to care. I'm going to forget them now. Also, strengthening families is another. And we're fortunate that we have gotten, three grants this year, working hard for them. One is the RAED grant, which is a rural, I can never remember the term, but it's an AED device. And we were one of three departments in the country to get this award, and it's for 3 years. And it's to increase or actually decrease cardiovascular deaths when there's an emergency. And as you all know, we have continuing problems with emergency services, maybe not so much in Beatrice, but in other areas. And so our response times are longer because it's natural in a rural area. And as things get tighter, it's more difficult to get to people in time. Anyway, the AED devices, as you probably know, are designed to defibrillate your heart, assuming someone is around. And also, part of this program is to increase the number of people that know how to do CPR. And that's very, very important. They have records of communities where they have the best in cardiac care, but yet people survive no better than in other areas, and that's because many times they do not have enough people in the community that know how to do CPR, or they don't have enough AED devices. I've learned a lot about CPR, not just doing it, but people responding to it, and that's one of the bigger problems. You might think in an expansive area like rural Nebraska, well, there isn't going to be anybody around. The fact is we hang together. You know, we have families, and there are people around. But there's a tendency for people not to get involved. So provider intervention in a cardiac event is really what we're trying to increase. So I looked at all of the factors that contribute to this. And, of course, we want to increase the number of AED devices. They're finding now it does no good to have one in a school if it takes longer than a minute to retrieve it. So, we're going to be increasing the number of AED devices in various locations where people are. And also we're going to increase the proportion of people that know how to do CPR. And what we've found that even if you had one course in CPR, it's enough to make a difference in whether people respond or not. And, in fact, they have all kinds of ways of increasing people's comfort with CPR, and many of them do not, well, they don't require certification, and that's something that you want, you know, your responder to have. But people on the street, you wouldn't expect them to all have certification, nor would it be practical to ask them to do that. So there are all kinds of teaching devices for kids and otherwise that take as little as 30 minutes. And what we're endeavoring to do is to increase the proportion of people that know how to do CPR to 30%. Typically, only 10% of the population knows. I hope we're going to be better than 30%, but you never know. And so what we're planning is working through the responders and Red Cross and others to provide these opportunities to people. And they even have little kits that a kid can take home and do with their family. But anyway, we're very excited about this, and that's for 3 years. I can't tell you how many calls I get about AED devices from the year after we got our last grant, which was only for a year. This one is for three. And it was one of the best grants in the country, so I'm real proud of that. The other one is one that we got from the state, and that's ended up to be a little bit more problematic than I thought it might be, but it's to increase the access to dental health services for children. You wouldn't believe, you know, we have dentists, but the number are decreasing, you know, with time. They're getting older, and they're not relocating to rural areas. So what we have is... a grant to do preventative services for children, and we're going to continue to do them in the Head Starts, early Head Starts, which is where we've been doing them, and then we're going to move over to WIC clinics, and then we're going to start into the schools. We have, I think, about three-fourths of the schools indicated they want to be part of this, and we would do the screening and then do fluoride varnish and then sealants for, you know, for the grooves of teeth. And just in the short time that we've done it in the Head Starts, we've decreased the amount of cavities that a kid has when they get referred. So in the early days, we had some people with really pretty bad teeth, and now they're less so, and so they're able to get their care here in Gage County rather than being sent off to a pediatric dentist, for example. You might know that we had an open house yesterday for our early intervention, but it's a home visitation grant, and Healthy Families America, and that's a grant that we only got for Gage County and Jefferson County, and we're very fortunate that we have that to be able to increase the health and well-being of families with young children and increase effectiveness of parenting. Well, those are probably the highlights of those efforts that I've been working hard on. Seems like after one is gone, then I try to do another. But we have rural areas I think have been pretty much neglected in services and resources, and we're trying to change that. And eventually all of these programs will be part of the community, and it won't be something that we're doing necessarily.
You didn't make a note of the fact that we just opened our office.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we just opened our office in Beatrice, and we're all pleased with that. I was sick, so I didn't get to go yesterday to the open house, but I'm pleased with that. And we're hoping we might be able to provide some other services at that office to make it easier for people. We are intending to apply for an immunization grant. For years, the money's gone to the same organizations throughout the state. We've never gotten an immunization grant. And what we're going to focus on are those people that are under-immunized. And there are a lot of adults under-immunized. Shame on you if you're one of them. And also teens. Teens are others that feel that they're invincible. So we're going to be focusing on them. So I don't know if there's anything.
Well, you might mention we Public Health Solutions monitors very closely all of the diseases, and as we look at Ebola, yes, and we look at the antivirus, whatever they're called,
yes,
we monitor those very closely at Public Health Solutions so that we're aware if there's any hint of any of this in our area so we can get on it and work with healthcare providers relative to this.
Right. I always watch, well, we're connected to CDC, so we know when any little peep happens. And so I always pride myself in being the first one out the chute with giving those warnings. They're very important. And, of course, you've heard about the Ebola. I don't know how much I should or shouldn't talk about these things because some people say, oh, no, more about Ebola or about the other virus that they're hoping is not linked to the neurological diseases that they've found. There have been some neurological responses that are not good for children, and they still don't know whether they're linked. We hope not. But Ebola, I was listening again to the CDC director saying that we're just okay, that even though, you know, we got that case in Texas, but it's not it's no surprise because the world is so fluid anymore. And I'm sure it's going to happen again and again, but we trust that our good health practices here in this country are going to help us. It won't mean that we won't ever have any, but hopefully we'll be able to contain it. I don't know if you have any questions.
And we have our emergency manager,
yes,
and staff in the back. We have a staff member who works closely with all of our emergency managers,
yes,
through the area to help coordinate those responses and do what we can to help in regard to that also. So it's another service that we provide.
Right. And he does a better job than I do. And
well taught.
And we're working on our emergency response system, trying to make things, well, particularly it, you know, these tornadoes have really opened up our eyes. And we're going to be focusing on the small area responses in our practice, because that's really where, you know, that's where your response is, and that's what we want to practice. So we're pleased to be able to do that.
Where's your office located at here in Beatrice Inn?
Yeah, it's on the community college campus. It's where the other resources are, other family resources are. Yeah.
At number 7, I think it is, isn't there? Is it 9?
Oh, I don't know. I think you'd know. He is really hard to beat.
Over in Adams.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you have nothing for me, remember, if you ever do have any problems, that that we will do our best to address them. All right. So thank you.
Great day. I need a motion to close all bids for snow removal.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0. Hand those down to building and grounds. Well, maybe you want to open those up too. Just got one.
Yep, that's there.
Close the bid.
Phrase my letter opener.
The bid. Is that from Davy Jones with a shovel? Is that
what that is? Say. Nope. Dave's smiling, so it must not be his. He don't have to do it because he got a bid.
He gets got rid of John Deere. Yeah.
Doug Kennedy, snow removal. You look at the woolly caterpillars, I guess. They're saying that. I don't know if that. Yeah. Philippines. Philippines all over the place.
Okay. We have a bid from we have a bid from Beatrice Lawn Care Inc. And their proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall is $349. Their lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall is $499. Spreading ice, melt, and gravel in the parking lot, if needed, $250. And that's with a spreader truck, if ordered the snow contract. And the lump sum dollar proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall, $349. These are on the sidewalks. And the lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall, $449. That's on the sidewalks. The original dollars were for the north parking lot, the north rock parking lot, the sheriff garage lots, east sheriff driveway, the east parking lot, courthouse east diagonal parking, courthouse driveway, and the veterans office driveway to be done with a snowblower. And that is the only bid that we have.
Davey, I got a question for you. What about extension office? There was a discussion this year about lawn mowing. Are they seeking out their own?
As I can't tell you for sure. I think that they are. We've never had snow removal in the past. They did not say anything. I did not ask them. So.
Just curious.
Yeah. And I don't know if come springtime if they would want to be included on the lawn mowing.
Might give them a call. I know that, 'cause it came up. We kind of got that. Yeah, Lisa.
The Ag Society donates, please, since we have the mower at the fairgrounds. We just go ahead and mow the extension off. As far as snow removal, I think they privately do that. So.
Could someone from the Ag Society reiterate to the extension office and their employees that that's the arrangement then?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. There was a rather curt contact this spring.
Okay, yeah. No,
thank you.
As far as the snow,
okay, good. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay.
I was just going to say there is a slight increase from last year's, but we also included the new rocked parking lot area to the south of the veterans office.
Motion to accept the bid from Beatrice Lawn Care.
I would so move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Any further discussion, questions?
Vote. 7-0 to approve. Got another public hearing. Actually, we've got two public hearings, one at 9:30 and one at 9:45. And what's not on the agenda, but we normally do, is we have Lisa Wiegand from Planning and Zoning come and speak. And that would be great to have you come here. She'll speak before we open the public hearings.
We'll be doing these separate, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is in reference to the cemetery. The application came in from Dan Crawford and the Crawford family. It's for the reinstatement of the Spark Cemetery. So it's in Lincoln Township, Section 6, and it's in the southeast quarter. As far as the property itself, it measures 208 feet square. It's got a driveway that comes off of a township road, and it has an existing fence. For our hearing, there were 29 landowners that were notified, and also for your hearing, too, today, 29 landowners. As far as looking back at the history of the Spark Cemetery, the Nebraska state statute states it's a pioneer cemetery because the plots that were used date back before 1900, and no one's been buried there in the last 20 years or more. So my understanding, this is one of your 16 sites that, as a county, you're responsible for mowing, and you take care of that to maintain and mow at the cost of the county taxpayers. For the Crawford family, this has been the process hasn't been real easy for them. It began when Dan's mother passed away, and their intentions were to bury her close by, which was within a quarter of a mile, with the intent that they would take care of the cemetery themselves. They were unable to do that at the time because the cemetery did not have an active cemetery association, and it was considered by Nebraska state statutes to be an abandoned cemetery. So it was still under the direction of the county then. So therefore, they were protected by law, so nobody could use the cemetery for any burials. This passed Nebraska legislation session. The reinstatement laws were passed with the help of Senator Wallman's introduction, and I believe Matt also testified on behalf of the need for this and the Crawford family. Section 12 in those state statutes 1-3 give the authority back to you as a county, and then you as a county can turn it over to the direction of a county a cemetery association. So in this case, the Crawford family has already developed a cemetery association, so if it's barring your approval, I can move forward. We heard no testimony for objection. We did hear testimony on setbacks for an existing livestock facility and also on the roads needed for access to the cemetery itself. So we discussed as a commission at length our concerns for an existing hog facility, which is owned by Ann's Feedlot, and how that reinstatement of that cemetery affects those setbacks now that it's back in operation. Jim Entz and Dick Ertzen, the co-owners of Ann's Feedlot, testified that they did not object to the reinstatement and supported the Crawford family 100%. However, for us as a commission and for the Yances too, how does that affect the setbacks on that confinement unit? So as a commission, we looked at the regs, and basically they are 3/8 of a mile from the existing cemetery. So that's the nearest manure production point to the nearest corner or the closest corner of the cemetery itself. If future expansion occurs, should ANSYS decide to go forward, there would be some setback issues. We did encourage the two parties to discuss their options and perhaps come back to the association and to you today with something that could be worked out, and that didn't seem to be a problem. So therefore, down the road, it wouldn't prevent any hardships. We believe that this is the first time that in the state of Nebraska that reinstatement of any pioneer cemetery has even been seeked out, and so that's why the need to go forward and look at the laws were needed. We acknowledge that the county will have, you know, a little bit of savings for no longer having this on the responsibility and it be turned over to the association. So there is a procedure should the ANSYS want to move forward with expansion, so they would need to go through the variance board. If nothing is worked out through their association agreements, they could go through the variance board. The variance board could then make that determination on whether or not the setbacks could be put into place. So our commission does recommend approval today, and our vote was 6-4 and 1 opposed. So questions?
One opposed.
6-4, not 6-4, but 6 in favor.
6-1 opposed. Yep, sorry. Philly math, you know, interpretation.
Lisa, I guess, yes. I got a question for you. You talked a little bit about the county now is not responsible for that. As part of this new bill and the Crawford family and stuff, they assume...
If you turn over,
right,
you know, it to the association, it's not just the Crawford family, but it's there's the the cemetery association, then it becomes their responsibility.
For upkeep and maintenance and
yes,
that type of
stuff. Yes, that's correct. Yes. And
there are some requirements that are spelled out for the cemetery.
There are some strong state statutes that I'm not familiar with all of them to even start a county or a cemetery association. I think they have to have like a $3,000 bond, wasn't it, or something. I mean, they've got to put forth some money ahead so they have money into the funds. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure. I've not studied all those.
And those have been met, right?
Yes, because they were given the right of the county cemetery association, not county. So, other questions? Okay.
Thank you. I need a motion to open up a public hearing. It is 9:32. You know, for a public hearing for the support or opposition regarding reinstating abandoned cemetery, and this would be Sparks Cemetery is the one we're speaking to. So I need a motion to open up a...
Make a motion to open up a public hearing.
Second. By Juergens, seconded by Lyle. Vote 7-0. We're in a public hearing. Anyone who would like to speak regarding the cemetery, please sign in. We'll just try and take turns here and y'all speak at us. Been kind of involved in this from the get-go. If there's any questions for me, I can answer those, or we can. I guess I'm looking at Mr. Crawford sitting out there. If he want, did he sign to speak on behalf? Does he have the list over there?
I think at least one person signed in back there. Used the wrong hand, but he. Oh, okay.
You want to come up, Tracy, and talk a little bit about name and address for the record, sir.
Tracy Crawford, 927 West Court. We purchased this land back in the 80s, and there was this little cemetery there, and the county did a great job of maintaining it. And my son decided here last year that he would like to see that reinstated, and it was amazing to see the support of... I mean, the interest of people that would, as he expressed, maybe be buried there. As far as the setbacks and they're talking about, it was hard for me to believe that a cemetery could cause so many problems or whatever. But anyhow... I would relish being a farmer all my life and growing up on the farm and being around livestock, the smell of hogs, the smell of cattle. I would probably relish that when I'm gone. And in fact, my grandkids will be instructed to lead their calves over on my grave and, graze on it. So I have no problem with a hog building being next to it, a dairy farm or whatever. I think at least Wigan explained it as good as anything. A little bit on the humor side, I'm looking for a place to be buried. I don't know if the churches want me. And I can't afford a lot at Evergreen, so... you guys have a choice of approving this, or you're going to probably have to pay to bury me. Thank you.
Yeah, the uniqueness of where this sits is in the quarter that which they own. It's right on the, basically right next to the road at the four corners there on the road. And Dan, his son, lives less than a half a mile away. And if you drive around the county and you look at the abandoned cemeteries that are out there, we have contracted the Boy Scouts and a couple other groups to maintain those. And they do a pretty good job, but primarily it's mowing. There are some, you know, other things that can be done with those, but it's probably beyond the responsibility and the desire of a public body to do so. They were private entities that started these back in the day, and here's an opportunity for them to go back to a private entity. I don't propose anyone here in the county wants to run a cemetery. We don't want anything to do with the cemetery, but by state statute, it's our obligation to maintain those when they're abandoned for a period of time. There is, when I went up and testified at the state legislature, and I cannot remember the senator's name, this has come up in western Nebraska as well. Some of the ranchers that are out there that do have some property that they'd like to be buried, but state law prohibits that ability to take place. So there's also been, in Terry's neck of the woods, a gentleman down there by the Odell area that had researched this, I want to say back in the 90s, but it wasn't an opportunity. One thing that of note is that when a cemetery is abandoned, nobody is supposed to be buried there. But there have been some circumstances where they have taken place. And so there's a proper process to go through to do this now. And I thank Senator Norm Wallman's office and Jenny Bollmeyer. They really worked hard on this, and they kind of got this done. So I think it's a very practical approach to something that can be done at a local level. So,
now, I thought the prior law was that if the lot was already purchased, they could go ahead and be buried there.
Basically, you got a lot of different laws that come into play here. This is a pioneer designation, which means there's at least one Civil War veteran that is in there. And that brings in historical concepts that we have to deal with as well. So all these people were at play as we formed these. And Matt was very instrumental in working with legislative people to draft the legislation to get it through all the concerns. As Tracy said, you know, you think it's a very simple concept, but it affects a lot of people. And, you know, you've got the farming operations. Everybody's scared to death anymore that, you know, I don't want to get sued over, my business enterprise if you go ahead and do this. So I think it's a real good opportunity here or example of everybody working together to get something done. That's going to benefit not just Gates County, but as Matt said, there's some people out in Sand Hills too that are looking at this. So I think it was a good effort on everybody's part. The Crawford family's been very patient because it's taken a while. Legislation takes a while. So
we do have from the hog operation out there, Mr. Anson, Mr. Gerson. Would you like to speak? That'd be great to hear from you. They spoke during the planning and zoning hearing, and they have the operation that would be affected based on setbacks.
Jim Ants, 719-65-5 82nd Avenue, Beatrice. Obviously, I'm up here for that proposal. Just wanted to make one statement, and that the fact that they have an association formed, we are, Dan and I have talked, and Dick, and we're going to put in that our needs, wants, and desires, along with the rules and regulations that are already proposed. We plan on, we have no plans for expansion at this point, but what we would like to do is have a mutual agreement on what that would look like. And we both need to, and listen to Tracy, we anticipate no problems whatsoever. But even if there were, we're neighbors, and we're going to make sure that it works for both of us. So I just wanted to let you know that if you had any reservations about, well, are these people going to get along, or is there going to be problems down the road, there is not. And so that will be a part of that, of their documents for their association.
Okay. Thank you. Gertson, would you like to speak? You're hiding behind the deputies. I don't think you need that much protection.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Any questions or comments or anyone here on the board? Seeing none. Okay, so then our action will be we'll come back in 2 weeks for action, so that if anyone wants to drive by, go look at it. answer any questions, see on site for yourself. We've kind of changed that over the last couple of years and not trying to hear everything in one meeting and make a vote. We like to go out and look at it. So it'll be on for approval in 2 weeks. So if there's no more discussion or comments related to the cemetery, I need a motion to close the public hearing.
Move that we close the hearing.
Moved by Lytle to close the public hearing. Seconded by Dorn. Further discussion. Vote 7-0. So we'll have that on the agenda as an action item in 2 weeks. Oh, we're just a couple minutes away. We've got a public hearing again. So Lisa, let's have you do your update for that. Since Dawn left it off the agenda, she's got to remind me verbally to
Okay, I don't mind. Bear with me. I don't have all my notes here in front of me, but did you all get a copy of this next hearing? It's information with pictures?
Yeah.
Did you have the picture copy? I'm going to kind of refer to that back and forth. But this is a this permit is being applied for by the Ann's Feedlot. So we're kind of in the same location here by the same parties. No intent on one being before the other. That's just how it fell. So no problems there. But it is to install a 100-foot tower. When you measure the tower itself from the base on up to the top of the blade, my understanding it'll be 124 foot. Gage County has two types of regulations for wind energy. We have a single wind energy system, and then we also have the commercial wind energy systems, which is like what we they applied for the Steel Flats project, where it is developed into a coordinated fashion, which we call an aggregated project. So there's different stipulations and different guidelines for the two wind towers. The biggest thing here is that this particular tower is going to be used on site. All the electric will be used there. Any extra generation that they have for power, our understanding is it will be sold back to Nebraska Public Power, and that's how it will remain in the system. The Ann's Feedlots have always been good stewards of the land. We sent out 36 letters, I believe, to landowners twice for the hearings. So as we looked at this particular turbine, we heard proponents. We heard from six proponents for the project, and we heard no opposition. However, we did hear from the National Park Service, the homestead itself, with concerns for the view shed. They're stating as the crow flies, it's 4.6 miles if they stand out on their deck to where the proposed site is. So 4.6 miles, our understanding. We did not follow up with a measurement of that at all. The concerns of theirs were how it will affect their night sky view. With all due respect to the homestead, we did ask that ask if there was any easement, view shed easements, that the homestead owns that are in hand, and they at that time stated there was none. So we do acknowledge that we're trying to be all good stewards of the land, but then yet when we viewed the turbine itself, it's a monoslope. It's a monopole style, so one pole. And so when you view that and you look at the night sky from where that 4.6 miles is, there's a lot of trees, there's a lot of, you know, hills and so forth that may not be a nuisance to most just because you're looking at the skyscape instead of that view. So our commission does recommend approval for this permit. Our vote that day was I had five there, and we all voted for that. So, questions on this particular one? The biggest thing, one other thing that I might state is that I did have questions from a couple of the neighbors about lighting. And in this particular case, because of the regulations, unless it's required by the FAA, which it is not, it will not have lighting on it, which probably would be the biggest nuisance if you were a neighbor, you know, to be looking at a blinking light or something. But it will have the demographics of more of a, you know, probably a taller windmill or a leg system of some sort. So it's in an agricultural area. So the comments that came back were it really wasn't going to be evasive to be a nuisance in sight. So, Myron, I'm sorry.
My question isn't so much you or anybody. If you remember, I don't remember exactly how the steel flats went. How tall were those compared to this, I guess?
In the excess of, I think it's 480 feet, isn't it?
Like that.
So from the base to the top of the blade. So, yeah.
This is about a fourth the height of those down there. So.
And if you look at the side view and you're comparing leg systems in the agricultural areas and some of these bins are going up that are, 100,000 bushel or more, Terry, help me out, but they're probably 65 foot up in the air. And then you're looking at a diameter of a big difference between, I'm not sure I didn't look at my, you have your measurements there, but I'm guessing the top of that pole is probably going to be, 15 inch diameter. So that when you're viewing that isn't going to show up like a tree. So, but that's the commission's recommendation. So,
thank you, Lisa. It's 9:46. Need a motion to open up public hearing to hear support or opposition for the wind turbine for the Ents feed lot.
Make a motion to open up public hearing.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. It'll be quick, Gary. Vote 7-0 to open up a public hearing. We had a list going around. Lisa, they got the list to you. Start at the top here and see who wants to speak. Carrie Kisslinger? Did I say that right? Did I
butcher? You're right.
Kisslinger? Okay, sorry, sir. Name and address for the record, please.
Carrie Kisslinger with ES Wind Power from Albert Lee, Minnesota, P.O. Box 1055. And we're the manufacturer and the installer for the wind system. Again, it is much different than a large wind farm machine. It's much smaller. It's a 100-foot tower. The rotor diameter is 42 feet. And I did hear comments from the homestead representatives at the last meeting. And since that time, I was at a wind turbine site in Colorado, and I did identical system. And it was flat land, and so I just started driving away from it to see when I could view it. And at 3 miles, I was no longer able to see the turbine with my eyes, and they're easier for reading. So, I could not view it. So I think at 4.6 miles, it will not be visible to the naked eye. So, again, we want to work with the community, but I don't believe it will have any impact from a visual standpoint. Again, we feel it's something that as electric rates increase, environmental concerns increase, I think you'll see more of these. But I do want to stress that this is a large farm area, so it's not, in somebody's backyard, et cetera. But I think it should pose no harm or threat to the neighbors or the environment.
Questions for this gentleman? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Jim, this is your encore. Come on back.
Jim Entz, 71965 582nd Avenue. Might appear to you that we are a bunch of troublemakers over there, but we are not. I mean, we think we're the opposite of that. So anyway, I didn't need to add more to that other than maybe you would wonder why we want to do that. And I don't know, it doesn't make any difference because we can have our own opinions, but I thought it'd be interesting. Maybe you would want to know why. And that particular farm is set up with two types of buildings, one natural vent and or several natural vents and some tunnel vents. The difference between natural vent is you use natural air. Tunnel vents is you draw air from one end of the building to the other with fans. And so they're set up differently, and with the information that was available in 2000 when we came for this group and built that setup, the performance was going to offset the electrical costs.
that probably didn't work out exactly the way we had hoped it to be, but nevertheless, the power requirements are about 20 times higher on the tunnel vent versus the natural vent. And so to offset those costs, we've been looking at a lot of alternatives to try to, whether it be wind or solar or whatever. And we've been working with these folks for a couple of years, and with, to be right honest with you, with the tax credits, the grants, and rebates, it became an affordable option. And so that's why we chose to do this. We were no way, shape, or form trying to create a problem. We think it's a good business decision. We think it's being part of the solution is better than being part of the problem. So that's what we would like to present it as, and no more nor less. But thank you. If you have any questions?
Got one quick one. I guess this is for one wind turbine.
That's correct.
In the future, you talked about it with the cemetery and stuff. Would there be a need, or I mean, you probably haven't ever thought of that, or I
well,
mean, or,
there
I don't
could,
know what zoning would take either if you ever wanted to do it. You know, I don't know. I just
the measurements from where they're proposing to the measurements of the cemetery would be well within the guidelines of zoning, so they wouldn't have to. There would be no issues come up at this time.
Lisa, in regard to that, are the setbacks on this particular one the same as the setbacks on the large one in my area?
If you propose putting that back into production, the cemetery itself now has a right. Right now it has a right, so there are no cemeteries. Or still no setbacks to that. But when you put it back into out of the reinstatement, then it now has a right. So it would be a quarter mile set.
Okay.
And so from the nearest corner to where they're proposing, I believe, is almost half
a little over a half a mile.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? I have two more people on here. I see Rodney's hiding back there. But he's for it, but he didn't check the box to speak. And it doesn't appear that Dick Gertsen is going to get up in front of us anytime soon. But he's checked the box for it. So in all seriousness, if you gentlemen would like to speak, now's the time. No? Okay.
We're pretty serious about not speaking.
Any further discussion? Again, the process is we'll come back in 2 weeks. We'll have it as an action item at that point. If there's no further discussion, I need a motion to close the public hearing related to the wind turbine.
I would move to close the special hearing.
Moved by Byers.
Sorry.
Second by Hill. Vote. 7-0 is closed. Okay. Around here. Terry, do you want to talk about discussion on weight limits of county roads?
We just as well get started. That's our.
And just, Galen, if you start to talk, can you just move over to the mic, and that way you can stay seated, and that way we'll just have it on the record if it, that we don't have to stand here, because Terry can go on for quite a while, so you might, you know.
Since our overlay projects on our hard-faced roads, we've known this has been in place. There's some serious restrictions on a lot of these county roads, and we've looked at them, of course. We know it's a large sum of money that was spent to improve these roads. With that being said, I think the improvement was done so they could be used by some heavier traffic, in my way of thinking. I mean, the restrictions, there's a bunch of things. If these restrictions are left on there, there's some of these roads that are set at 15 ton, which to me, you can't even haul a empty trailer on it, you know, let alone loaded. So what you're asking the farmer to do is go down the township roads across bridges that don't carry that kind of weight to get, if he's got to go from point A to point B, he's got to get there one way or the other. So we're asking him to take the least acceptable road to get there. I strongly believe a lot of these roads, I'll use the Odell Blacktop as an example. The weight limit on it is, and it's one of the better ones, but the weight limits on it are 20,000 pounds for a single axle, $29,000 for a tandem and $42,000 for a triple. It's been my contention that there's Cortland East, there's Christ Church Road, there's Claytonia DeWitt, North 19th Street and Beatrice, and Odell North, 12 miles. At the time, I understand why it was done, but at the time, the times have changed. The single axle is the same way the state regulates as 20,000. The tandem axle is downrated to 29,000. Those tandem axles rates ought to be raised to 34,000, which is the legal limit. And then the triple stay at 42. This is what I contend we do. We stay at 20, we go to a tandem axle of 34,000, and we go to triple axle of 42,000, which would be going by state guidelines if we did that on all blacktop hard face roads. With that being said, the state now has a harvest time overload permit, and unless it's posted otherwise, the way I understand it, you will accept those overload permits during harvest, which I feel is probably too much for the county roads to bear. That's why I say we post these roads with the limits I just said. So during harvest time, we do not want to have that increased 15% weight on these blacktop roads, because it might carry it, but it's going to lead to premature break up on these roads. These roads are costly to repair, as everybody has known. I feel confident that these roads will carry those limits as long as we state by the state regulations, which are the 20,000, the 34,000, and the 42,500, actually is what it is. These roads would have to be posted with those weight to make it. Otherwise, if they're not posted, the over 15 over would go ahead and would be enforced that way. So my contention is on a lot of these roads, all the roads, in fact, be posted with these new limits, and we abide by those on all hard-face county blacktop roads.
And, Terry, those regs have a max of 80,000.
That is correct. And if you – the interstate system – max at 80,000. You can't go over that at any time. The interstate's different type of a rate regulation. So there's all kinds of highway semi-traffic on those roads, as everybody knows. Those are the limits on the interstate system, 80,000 period. State roads, you can go up to 95,000 if you have the axles to carry, you know. But in most cases, that 95,000 is too much. So I'd like to back it off. Go to that 80,000, which is a state standard. Most states use it. Some states are a little higher. Some are a little lower. And have it uniform throughout the whole county.
Okay. I guess I'll look at Galen. I know when we visited with Mark Minnelli from Minnelli & Associates, and we were doing core samples, and we were looking at doing the overlay projects, we talked a lot about state standards, not just doing a one-inch lift or a little skim coat, if you will. And so what would be the recommendation from your department, and what does Mark Minnelli think as we talk about doing this with our current roads?
Well, it's just like in the development of our overlays. They're designed for a 20-year overlay. And speaking to him with these issues, he says as the years go on, where's your pavement right now, he said he sees no problem at all with the new overlay roads, you know, carrying this kind of weight. He was, when I did talk to him here a couple of weeks ago about posting them at 40 ton so he couldn't exceed that 80,000, yeah, he was all in favor of that. And he says your older roads, he says, like you said, he says you got to remember they're designed for 20-year, and as the years go on, that course, the strength of the road comes down, you know, accordingly, too. So, and he does believe, he says, the roads are out there for the people to travel on, you know, the farmers to get their crops to market. So he believes that it's best to, just like the 15-ton, like Terry said, he says, well, you can't even hardly drive a pickup down with a load on, you know, 15-ton. So he was for doing it, but he just says it's possible as on the older roads, as time goes on, there might be some patching, you know, might need to some more maintenance work that needs to be done. But he says you're carrying the traffic now. You have been for X amount of years, so he said he'd be in favor of it.
One other thing I want to mention. I'm sorry, John.
Go ahead.
But, you know, right now I will guarantee you all these roads that are restricted are being used by the farmer, or I better say more farmer than anybody, you know, carrying those kind of loads, a standard 80,000 limit. I mean, it's being used that way now. If we leave these limits on, you're asking the DOT to come in your area, you know, and I guess I don't think much of that. I mean, you have to give the farmer or anybody the ample opportunity to get his product to town and to use the best possible road system to get it there. So,
now, did Mark give that opinion on all the county roads or just the new overlay roads as far as increasing the weight limits?
Well, in his opinion, he said all the roads should be able to get the crops to the farmer should be able to use them to get their crops to the market. He just said the county wants to realize, though, that on your older roads, you may have to do more maintenance work on them because they, like I said, they lose their strength as they get older and older and older. But he believes you need to give them a route to get to the market with their product on this. So.
And I guess my other question on that, is he good with the new overlays, considering that we haven't got the shoulders pulled up to them yet and won't have until next spring, you know, especially parts of the Philly Adams Road, but more specifically the Wymore Liberty Road, that, you know, that it's good to carry that weight at this time?
At this time, yes. Okay. So something that on your older roads, you know, we have not core sampled all the other asphalt roads yet. So, I mean, he can't actually sit there and tell you truly that, yeah, it'll hold for 20 more years with this weight on that because he don't have no way to look at the condition of what's underneath that top of that asphalt, you know, for the roads that we have not addressed yet. You know, we are working on another set of section of roads, you know, that we are taking core samples and et cetera on. But at this time, he's seen no problem with the ones that we just overlaid, going for a good 20 years, and the ones that, like you said, it's been going all of these kind of weights ever since he's been known Gage County, and they put the 15 ton on years ago because a lot of the roads that we just overlaid again were in pretty bad shape, and they thought, well, they could protect the roads from getting all tore to heck, you know, from the trucks going in and out with all their grain loads, but, I guess he made a good saying is when he said you do have to furnish them local people a way to get their crops into the market. 15 ton is just not a logical posting on a road.
Well, and no, the 15 ton for a single axle is not logical, and it should reflect the multiple axles on that road, whether it's the same as the better county blacktop roads that we know that have the base to them. You know, whether those are both exactly the same or not, I'm not sure on that. And I would like his opinion. Does he have a date, you know, when we are going to have all those roads sampled?
That I can't
complete
answer.
Date.
Okay. With that being said, I understand fully well, the more traffic a road gets, the sooner it's going to deteriorate. I mean, that's just logic, you know. The more traffic it gets, the sooner it will show wear. I mean, that's just the way it works. But, you know, one thing Gage County has always done is take pretty decent care of all their roads, bridges, and tried to maintain them as well as we can, because that's a major, major part of our infrastructure in Gage County. And if you're going to go forward, you know, I think we have to look at this and do this.
Well, if we're reading our resolutions right here, Don has gotten we think all of them, or we hope all of them, or whatever, but the 15-ton that was originally implemented back in 1993, which most of our I call it our truck traffic at that time wasn't the semis, you know, especially the farmers. And in the last 20 years, it's changed a lot. We've gone from, I call it more the single axle truck to a fair amount of them now have semis and stuff, you know. And at that time, the 15 ton, I can understand a little bit why they maybe implemented what they did at that time, you know. As much for the weight of the vehicle that they had as anything. We've changed. I mean, our the farming economy has changed. Our county has changed. The roads, maybe the conditions of some of them haven't, you know, improved a lot. But I think it's time. Part of what led to all this discussion was our bond issue came up. Do we change these now? But also, is it time to revisit all of these and look at all of these? And do we need to set different weight limits than that 15 ton?
And I guess the one thing that I would like to see for our county roads is to restrict the weight limits for the, you know, the thaw period in the spring, to lower them during that time, and at least consider, you know, the July-August time frame when, you know, it can be so blasted hot and, you know, stresses the pavements also. Because I'm not sure, oh, I'm quite sure our roads aren't capable of carrying that traffic in, you know, that February-March thaw period. And carrying it well, especially until we get the shoulders against them.
Sure. I think Terry's recommendation is a reasonable recommendation. I guess I would like to see us do something uniform. And, you know, as far as freeze and thaw, I guess I just don't see any reason to make it more complicated than it needs to be. Let's put something out there uniform. Let's not make this set period here different than this set period here. Let's throw something out there uniform. We realize it's going to put some wear and tear on the roads, but like Terry and Galen both said, that wear and tear is there anyway. So let's just acknowledge it. Let's move forward, and let's make this the most acceptable way of getting to town as opposed to going to the secondary routes and tearing them roads up and putting that burden on the township. We all get tired of the state putting burdens on us and the federal government, and here's an opportunity for us not to put a burden on the township associations. And I think we ought to take that step forward and do that.
And I guess the one thing, you know, if we put 80,000 pounds on them, which I think some of them can carry, possibly with the exception of those two time frames, we're also opening it up to all the other traffic on all the roads, you know, whether it's farm traffic or not. And some of those will get significant traffic on them.
Is 2 weeks enough time to for Road and Bridge to come with a recommendation to the board and consult with Minnelli? And you need more time than that? I mean, just
nope.
I would come with a recommendation and.
Yeah, and I guess I would like a specific recommendation for Mark on these roads. And
I think that's important to have. We were doing the bond issue. We were telling folks the idea is to pull the weight limits off, and you know, the guys, a full disclosure, you know, if we take these off, there's a wear and tear, just so everyone knows that. And quite frankly, with 73% of the valuation being in the rural areas, the folks using them and tearing them up are going to be the ones paying to put them back.
And I can certainly see adding the ones that we did to this list of ones that's, you know, currently 29, 42, and I don't have a problem with increasing that middle number to 34 on those roads and adding the new ones as long as Mark says they'll do it, and I don't have a problem adding any of the other roads as long as they are capable of carrying it. And if they're not at that level, they need something other than 30,000 pounds for a single axle. They need something different than that.
And you know, just what Terry had said before is there were folks that were using some of the non-main arteries, and we've had some bridges that we've had to close because of some fractures, because some heavy things have gone over them. And so, you know, I mean, you may not be the second or the third person to go over that bridge, but if you're the fourth or the fifth, you may be the one at folly for somebody else's poor decision making. So.
And we have a number of bridges on our blacktop roads that aren't rated over 16 ton or 20 ton or something like that. There's still going to be issues.
Interesting.
Right, so we'll come back in a couple weeks and a good discussion and get some
again. And you'll visit with Mark then and get his recommendation, right. So that we'll have that for our committee meeting. And our committee meetings will be Friday instead of that Monday. because the next Monday when be committee meetings is Veterans Day. So
committee meetings will be on the 10th.
Almost Day.
So yeah, our committee meetings will be on that Friday the 10th. So
Columbus
if you could,
Day.
So you get that, and we can have it for discussion already at that Road and Bridge committee.
Sure.
Or it's Columbus Day. It's not Veterans Day, is it? No.
November's
Veterans Day. Columbus Day. We closed for Columbus Day? No.
Hey, Columbus Day.
Dawn wanted it off.
I know.
She gets what she wants. I tell you.
She's special.
I'll probably work on
Friday the 10th, we have NIRMA out in Kearney then.
Yeah.
So we're scheduled a committee meeting when you have another meeting again?
Again.
Yeah. I do too.
Don does also.
Can Don be there too?
And anyone else would go to the self-defense course.
So?
Galen usually goes.
That one?
Yeah, to the NIRMA. You don't go to that
one. I was going
to
go to this one.
In the morning. Have it later.
NIRMA's later, you mean? No.
No, we have our committee meetings later in the day.
Oh, have ours. You mean?
The meetings end in the morning. Lunchtime, I guess.
If we had a mid afternoon or so, we could get back.
Probably late afternoon. If that matters to any of you, I don't know. Are you going to go? Say maybe not.
And me, can't you?
Okay. Well, that's what they call it. Yeah, that's when we get our dividend money, too. Hopefully.
Is it a lot? You need two people to carry it.
Denny has worked real hard for us. I'm the contact person, so I have to go to some.
Well,
classes.
We'll communicate a time. Well, maybe we'll in the next. We'll throw out a couple different times and see what works and see what we can do. Sure, I want to work on Monday the 13th.
Yeah,
I'll probably be here.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So Columbus Day.
Courthouse is closed. Can we still have committee meetings on the Monday?
I don't know. We've never done it before.
I always have to open the door before.
All right.
No, I mean the public.
Oh, we would then. Yeah, because it's open to the public. Never mind. Yeah. The doors would have to be open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's public. Yeah.
Well, with the law enforcement representation we have here today, I don't think that'd be a problem.
I don't think so either. I keep waiting for something to happen because we've never had four of them here before.
Yeah. Too warm, somebody's getting carried out.
Yeah.
Terry, you want to jump into landowner compliance with trees policy?
Yes.
Please.
Everybody should have a copy of this on their desk. Galen provided it. This we've asked Galen and his staff down there to come up with something. This is something pulled out of the past. The names haven't been changed. We'll have to update all this. This is something in talking to the Road and Bridge. I think we'd like to clean it up, make different names, dates, everything else we need to do, and use it. It shows the statutes on the back, the requirements and everything. The only thing on this, it says if action taken after 10 days, that seemed to me a little bit harsh. I think we maybe ought to back that off to 30. I mean, if somebody gets a letter like this during the middle of harvest, I'm not going to stop harvest to go cut tree down. So I think that's a little bit unrealistic. I think if we could change that 10 days, and say 30. I also feel that it would be good. This would be coming from the county board if everybody on the county board signed it. Whichever ones we had out here that need addressing, if everybody on the county board would have, I don't know how many we'll have down the road, hopefully not that many, but if there are some issues, everybody sign their name to the line, say, yeah, this is the law. So everybody would understand, I think would help the enforcement of this. So,
one thing, and we just talked briefly about this. Galen, we've talked in the past on it. Like, if you got township roads versus county roads, we got to be careful with that too, because we got several townships that do a really good job. They send these letters out by themselves, and a lot of them do sign the board members sign, so they know it's not just one person that's upset about this thing. And I think, as you guys have said in the past, this is all about safety. You've got a lot of most of the problems, as I understand, talking with Galen, are absentee landowners. Not to kick on that, it's nice to have landowners there, but some of these, quite frankly, we're just going to have to go ahead and send out, you know, go through the statute, give them the notice, and then probably just take care of it in the long run, just to be pragmatic about something. Most of the time, Galen's office is, you know, gets them convinced to get something done, or their neighbors do, or something like that. And so it's a really tough situations where.
And that's what I mean. This would be the last step.
I'm not saying
everybody. This would be the last step. You know that that the last nothing else has worked.
Well, and now it's a step right before Galen would send me the name, and then we start our process where they will be cited criminally for doing this, and then it starts costing them up to $100 a day, and usually that produces a result. But, you know, hopefully we can resolve it through, you know, and Galen, like I said, he's done a good job with getting people to comply.
So how about the difference between the township roads and the county roads?
Basically, the final thing where I go, as a county attorney, would go after them, that stays the same. It's just a matter of who notifies, since they're in charge of those roads, not technically this board. They would send a similar letter, and quite frankly, a lot of them use the exact same letter. So... That's just so that everybody's clear on it. If they don't get a letter from this board, doesn't mean it's any less important.
Yeah. But that's some of what brought this about, though, is some of these townships have sent them out. They haven't got any results. And now where are they at?
Basically, then they or their attorney would refer it up to our office. But
when we told them we had the county association meeting out there, we told them, well, let us know then. And then, like, you know, Deborah then was here, and our office would contact him, and I know she did some or whatever, or had some good success, you know. So, I mean, I'm just trying to – I've got a township board up there that they want answers, and what steps do we follow, I guess, how do we proceed for them? Because they sent out letters, didn't have a response. I told them, well, get me the information. We'll get it to Galen. His office will also try to – or our office, I mean, will try to contact him.
Let me double-check the statute, but I think that we may go straight to our office rather than hooking through Galen, because technically it is a township road. That example.
Right.
So we may just go straight to my office, which is fine. I don't have any problem there, because what I'd probably do is maybe send out one last letter like we always try to do and get along with citizens and say, okay, now it's sitting on my desk. The next thing, you're going to have an attorney. So why don't we just get the brush out or the trees trimmed, whatever the case is. But that's, I just wanted to be, you know, so we don't, I don't want the townships misinterpreting or that our office is stepping on their legal authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a comment. I think that since this letter is kind of the last resort, they've already been notified and asked to remedy it, then I don't see a problem with the 10 days. If it happens to, if you have been contacted several times and not done anything, and this happens to fall during harvest or planting or whatever, and, well, I guess it'd be harvest more likely, and you have 10 days to do it, I'd say you better jump on it and do it, because you've had ample opportunity up to that point to do it. And probably these people aren't going to do it anyway, it sounds like. So.
I was kind of.
And I guess certainly, you know, if there's a safety issue that's been brought to your attention, you're looking at that too.
I was contacted by what you call the tree removal group from Norris Public Power, and in some instances, because of where they're posted in our right-of-way, they'll, for free at some point, if they've got to clean up some stuff, they'll do that to landowners. And they've had some resistance, and they've asked, I think I got a copy of a letter that we have, and I forwarded it to one of their foremen on their crew, and I said, now, obviously, you're not an agent of the county and don't represent yourself as such, but when they go and they ask people, hey, we're willing to do this, and you know, here's responsibility. So I think there's a recognition out there for that. There, in some instances, they want to clean it up to maintain their infrastructure, and they're willing to do it at no cost. So, you know, in some of those instances, there's just no excuse.
The majority of the the problems are on the sides where you don't have an electric line, because they have taken care of the ones under the electric lines.
All right. Discussion on the security process. Go brew some coffee, Gus, before we get into that.
Let me take a point of privilege before you start.
Actually,
like see you, Myron.
Take a point of privilege, 10:20. Myron's request.
Gus was
and
let's reconvene the Board of Supervisors, 10:25.
He's going to talk about his hand slapped on some Freedom of Information
Gus's proposal
and I says,
for a new security process.
Are you on?
Slapped too many
Would you like me to talk louder?
Much better than you.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
I think just as far as some of the groundwork, there are some sensitive items in this packet that gave us. We don't have a closed session on the meeting. We want to discuss as much as we can in open session, but moving forward in subsequent meetings, if there are things we need to talk about, we will go into closed session because of the sensitive nature of processes and things like that we don't need to have out in public. So if Gus interrupts you and shuts you off and says, don't talk about that, don't take it personal, just don't talk about that. Okay? So he has done a good job of labeling. I will not entertain a motion to submit this to the record because there are sensitive things in here. So at this point, this is for your eyes only, and just be sensitive to that. So, Gus, you have the floor, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. Okay, we'll try to bounce around. The ones remaining in the court here, in the boardroom, most of them except for the gentleman here, are on my security team and have been kind of from the get-go, go off and on. I'll just touch base just quickly on them. I'm going to have Brian come in because Brian really has been my right-hand man on this since we started. As you know, a couple years ago we started dealing with this and tried to have people up in the courthouse when it's in session in the courtrooms. And we went from that stage to having somebody full-time. We hired Brian. I can see the letters from both judges how extremely pleased they are with what's been happening so far. I will admit I was somewhat taken back, as busy as he has been and the number of arrests he has made on just one floor. And so that tells me that there was a need for it. I kind of thought there would be to some point anyway. When I talked to Matt about this a long time ago, bring it in front of the board, I didn't want to discuss everything. It's not that I want to hold information away from the media or the public, but it is a sincere thing. So if we do something, just like on the court floor, it's for their safety up there as well, so we don't let everybody know about it, and they can know what our plan of attack is. But so I had Brian label this cover sheet here of the things we don't want to really discuss in an open meeting. Then we can all be adjourned and do so on that. But I hope everybody got a chance to read the packet. Brian did a lot of work with me on it, and we changed things back and forth, and I think we're conclusions about best we're going to get for you. The second page, before I have Brian step up here, the second page is the most important thing I want you to take a look at. From NIRMA, this is Courthouse Security. As I was finalizing this packet, I received this from NIRMA. This happened just about 3 weeks ago over in Iowa, county very similar to Gage County, rural. And an older gentleman came into the assessor's office and was complaining about protesting the taxes. The gentleman pulled out a pistol and shot directly point blank at the assessor. How he missed her, no one's ever going to know. Luckily, there was a board of supervisor was there and wrestled the gentleman. And unfortunately, the gentleman, the perpetrator, was killed during the struggle with a weapon. But this really comes home why I'm standing here in front of you today. This probably can be one of the most important decisions you'll make as a board, not because it's money, because you have the opportunity to protect and save lives on people that work in the courthouse and those that come and conduct the business here. We all know you're going to hear complaints from the citizens. I've talked to their counties, and they've gone through the same thing. There's not a lot of money involved on it. I think I've talked to Dave a couple different times, and we're thinking $1,000, $2,000, somewhere in that area to finish out what we have to do. And that's basically just, if we do it downstairs, to bring in some cables and some lines for hard line for phone and from computer and the monitoring system, things such as that. So I just thought it was kind of unique that that came across my desk about the same time I was trying to get this ready to present to you folks. So I hope you did get a chance to see that, because that hit home pretty hard for some people across here in the state of Iowa. Brian, you want to step up here? I'm going to have Brian kind of give you a little rundown on kind of what he's been doing and what we have. And if you get to a point we don't want to discuss it, we'll let him know that and we'll do it later.
I'm reading material.
When I took this position about 6 months ago, I told you this would not be my job. It will be my responsibility. That's the way I always look at things. And when I interviewed for the position, they had talked about the possibility that we would move to full courthouse security instead of just the courtroom security. And I really had mixed feelings about that, because I didn't really understand everything that goes on in a courthouse. I come here to get my car registered or to get my license from DMV. So why would I need to be screened? But it wasn't until I came here and understood what goes on in a courthouse that I found the necessity for it. We put people who are just doing their normal jobs that they need to do within the courthouse together with people who are inmates coming over from the jail, or people who are out on bond who are coming to jail. We also have a lot of family dynamics that meet in our courthouse, child custody cases, protection orders, divorces, and we put them in the same room, that put them in the same building as somebody who is just going about getting their cars registered. And we don't realize the danger that we're putting other people in just from the collateral damage that could occur between two families who are fighting over the custody of a child. And then, as I studied this job and was trained into it and prepared to do it better and better, I realized what's happening in courthouses across America. And all you have to do is go on YouTube, look at courthouse violence or courthouse security, and you'll just be amazed at what goes on in not just large courthouses or courtrooms, but in small courtrooms as well. So it has really changed my belief. The other aspect of that is we can do a fantastic job of securing the third floor, but we are not securing what goes on behind that. We're pushing what could have occurred in the third floor to occur in the second floor. And I have seen that myself. When we had a confrontation just outside the treasurer's office between two people who keep assaulting each other, and they happened to come into the hall at the same time. And fortunately, from the monitor, I saw that happen and was able to rush downstairs and get the subjects separated and on their way. So it's just one of those things that it's a matter of time. The proposal will be to use the lobby area that's here on the first floor to put the baggage screener that we have purchased down there. And I've ran the baggage screener and it works fine. I called the manufacturer. They said those things are workhorses. They just never wear out. He says we have warehouses full of parts because nobody needs parts for them. And we had Dr. Jablonski from Lincoln come down and do the testing and the certification and the permitting process. We're permitted with the state of Nebraska to have the X-ray machine. And there's no issues with it at all. I received training on the X-ray machine and radiation more than I ever thought I was going to be. I had the missing hair before then, so it's not a problem. We will also use a walkthrough metal detector. So any baggage's contents will be screened just like an airport, and then they would walk through the metal detector, collect their items, and be gone. And we would also have a screen that we could watch all the cameras that are going on in there. We'd also have a panic and lockdown buttons available at that. And so if we see an issue, we can hit that up. And then we'd also have a hardline phone so that if we need to use the courthouse intercom system, we can use the intercom system.
We were very careful about this. We knew that there was an issue before, to be able to use two entrances, because a lot of people use the south entrance and they use the east entrance. And we found a very easy way to make that happen. And we would not need to change the structure of, or any doors at all. Dave and I, if you want to go down to first floor, when you're looking south, there are two wooden doors that are open right now. But on that west door, we can close that west door so that you could exit through it, but you can't re-enter. So that would be our exit. And people would be able to exit and go on south, or make that little loop and then go on east. But they can't get back into there. I've talked to DMV on how we would be able to make that work, and you are very excited about it. They appreciate the efforts of moving downstairs, and we would be able to make that work as well with them. So very easily we can make both places an entrance for patrons that are coming through. And really all we're doing is removing the screening station that we have upstairs, downstairs, because I'm here almost all the time. So somebody would be able to run that screening station. We're just moving it from upstairs to downstairs and making it operate all the times that the building is open. As the sheriff said, you probably see that. We screen about 1,000 people a month just on the third floor. And we only operate when the court is operating. And we pick up about 25 dangerous instruments a month. But we also find them, like in the planters out front or alongside the sidewalk on the south side. We even found one that was in the elevator, up in the roof of the elevator.
When you say you found one, what was one?
A knife.
Okay.
A knife that was up in the elevator. So.
Okay. Have we found any weapons other than knives?
No, we have not. No firearms or anything, you know, to that extent. So,
does that tell us if somebody would be carrying explosives?
A baggage screener can detect the items that explosives would be made out of, the components of an explosive.
And would tell you that?
You would see it. You can see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, really, any questions? I know how we are. I mean, our human nature is, I know I'm okay, but I don't know if the other guy's okay. But when we go through an airport, you know, I'm okay, but I really want to make sure the other guy's okay. And then we get on the other side and we know that everyone is supposed to be okay. I just want to make sure that somebody who is coming into our courtroom or coming into our courthouse isn't intermingling with somebody who is out on bond for a violent felony in the elevator at the same time, and they're carrying around who knows what. And or we get some people who can get rather disgruntled and, you know, to the point where they're not rationally thinking, and they're coming here to air out their grievance in one way or the other. And I'm sure it would be comforting for you to know whether or not they're carrying something when they're getting angry, and how far that's going to be. But
so if they're just fighting, well, they could do that. They could come in and just start busting people. Do you carry a taser?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. Yes, we do. But at least they're not coming in as the gentleman in Iowa, you know, with a firearm in their briefcase, which at this point that they could.
Wished you guys wouldn't have told Denny that. He may not do equalization next year.
Yeah. But I'm sure, Denny, you've always wondered in the back of your mind, how's this person going to be?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Exactly. Well, as I've read through this, it looks like the primary differences here, the processes and traffic movement, if you refer to people as traffic, doesn't appear to be a huge financial output. It's more of changing processes and putting personnel in certain places and which, you know, I can appreciate because I know at one point we talked about doing something different on the east side of the building to have an entrance come in. We may have to modify some of the employee parking and where we park so that the public can park closer to accommodate that. But I guess at first blush reading through this, it seems fairly reasonable. And, you know, the irony is I think even though this has got a date on it, the 16th, I don't remember the exact date, but the day I read this was when the day that gentleman ran across the lawn at the White House.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just where it's unfortunate that that's just the society we live in. Mm-hmm. It's just different. It's just different. So, you know, the main thing is from a door closure standpoint is this coveted second story door here that probably won't have a lot of access, which we've talked about. Davie has an opportunity to close anyway with regard to inclement weather. That's a stumbling hazard and has been for some time. So I guess what I'm saying is I appreciate the fact that it appears to be more process and it's not a heavy dollar amount at all. But it's just, in my opinion, it's just the unfortunate world that we live in. This is kind of one of those ugly parts.
But wouldn't there be ongoing personnel costs associated with this? Because, you know, if you go from third floor down to first to run the screening station, you know, that, you know, our responsibility for having somebody in the courtrooms is not met.
Well, actually, there is, when there's court going on, there's at least two deputies there. One at the screening station, one in court. Sometimes there's even three. If we have criminal court going on in district court, we'll have another deputy there, one in county court, and then one at the screening station. Because we can't pull that person out of screening station, because we don't know what's coming into the courtroom. And so it just depends. We have a feel for it, and we're able to watch and listen into the courtroom so that the screener can react if necessary. But when I worked in Wymore, I bought stuff at garage sales. I'm that kind of person, okay, for the department. And I'm that way here. I'm not going to compromise the need for personnel, but I'm not going to have extra staff just to have extra staff. So if we can get by with having one of the deputies come over just for an hour to fill that in, then I don't have to call somebody else in to do that as well. So
basically,
I'm very
isn't that new? We didn't always have a deputy up in the courtroom. When we hired you, we didn't have deputies up there, and I think that's been basically a new thing because that's when we did the hire. That was part of the deal.
Well, we always tried, because we usually go over quite a bit of time with prisoners, or the judges would key on something they know they'd have a red flag with, and they'd mention to us we'd try to have somebody there. So it has to be there as much as we could.
Only on certain occasions.
When we had to be, or with prisoners. Okay. Otherwise, with Brian, yes, that's right. Yeah, that's the first time we had somebody there full time in the courts.
Okay.
When they're in
and
session.
Now we have somebody there on
full
a
time.
Regular basis.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Myron, you had a question?
Well, to run the screening station, we're looking at, if it's open from 8 to 5, that's 45 hours a week. But then we also, you can't at 8 o'clock when everybody's coming to work, I would think you would need to have two people there to get people through quickly. And at 5 o'clock, well, I guess you don't have to screen them going out, but also over the lunch hours. So, right now we have one full-time position here. What are you going to do to cover the extra hours?
Well, that's why we recommended we're going to do a six-month trial. I have put in motion since last Friday. I talked to one of the deputies that would probably be assigned over here full-time, moving his position around, because I think it would be a bigger bang for a buck here than what I have him doing now. I would truly like to be half hour before and half hour after closing time. That's things Brian will have to work with us on schedules and shifts and see how we can make it work. Because I don't want to try to increase the staff, because then it's not like Matt says, we're doing pretty cost effective right now. So we're trying to see if we can do it what we have. So, and there'll be those times we'll have to have more than one at the screening station because heavy days with court. You won't be having all people coming through that. Employees and judges, obviously, that's one of the areas we won't talk about, but they wouldn't necessarily be going through our station. So that eliminates a lot of people right there. So that is kind of the goal. We worked through the 6 months trying to figure out what worked and what didn't, and then be able to come back to the board and say, here's what we're thinking about or not thinking about, so you'd be aware of it.
So employees would not necessarily be screened every time they come in?
Not necessarily, no.
And I guess, you know, if I was an employee, I wouldn't appreciate going through the screening station every day and every lunch hour when I come back. But if I was a customer, I wouldn't appreciate going through the screening station, and the employees weren't.
Well, that's
in Lincoln. I was in the Lincoln courthouse, city county courthouse, not long ago. And if you're going to the courts, you go through a screening process. If you're going anywhere else in the courthouse, you just walk in and go wherever you want to go.
Right.
And nothing. And they're 10 times bigger than we are.
That just shows how far behind the eight ball they are. There are other counties that have been doing this already. I know Seward's in the process. Platt's already done it. Norfolk. There's a lot of them out there. And I was surprised because I argued with the county judges last week on that. I said, I cannot believe they don't have people there. And I'm talking to the sheriff actually next week at conference. From up there on that, because I can't believe they don't have people for that facility.
Talk to me. I was
because they wouldn't let me get through even without leaving everything at the front desk. So they've done remodeling.
I was in a meeting with some people that were not very savory, I might, the nicest thing I can say.
And they have, I think, 2 or 3 at that station, don't they?
Yeah.
That's fine.
It will come to that. But... And I thought about that too, because I spent a day at Lancaster County on their Hall of Justice, is what they call it, where they screen, but the county offices, they don't screen. They do have security that do walk around there, but they don't do a screening. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. But you have the criminal side, which is where it's more likely an incident would occur, compared to the non-criminal, the DMV, the Register of Deeds office. But here we have them in the same building. So that would be the reason why, to justify it here, because we put them in the same building. If we did it in a separate building, if our purpose was only to secure the court, then fine. If we had it in a separate building, we would secure the court. But if it's to secure the courthouse, then we need to do... It's a decision you need to make. Are we going to secure the court, or are we going to secure the courthouse?
Well, I like your recommendations. I think it's very good, and I think you've done an excellent job.
And the other... Ms. Seitzer, the two places that I did train at, Platt County and... Lancaster County. They do have a separate entrance for their employees, so they aren't screened. But if they want to, if they go through the screening, they have to show, you know, the badge like you have. However, there are other courthouses that make everyone go through the screening. That's a decision that you will need to make for us. If you decide that if you're going to go through that, use that floor or whatever, you have to go through screening, fine, put that as a resolution, and we will do it. They did that at Platt County until one county supervisor wanted to go through it, and they said, no, you have a resolution that says you go through the baggage screener. And so, I mean, they did put him through the baggage screener, but go through the screener. He had to adhere to it because that was their resolution. So, you know. Because you never know, an employee might have a bad day, you know, and something. But you know, I hate to suspect our own employees. I've got to know them quite well. But
how about the jewelry that people wear when they come through the screening thing? Are they going to be able to get through, or do they have to leave it all here?
Yeah, you can get through. Sometimes, like a normal watch like this, will not. Well, she won't be able to. But. On a normal watch, if they're wearing a large watch, on a normal watch it won't set off the metal detector. If they're wearing a large watch, we have them walk through like this, and because it tells you at what level the metal is at. So then, you know, you try to do it as quick and diplomatic and understanding that you can be. You really want a diplomat running your screening station.
Well, and as we secure this, we too, there's no absolutes. It's an effort made to secure something, but there's always those chances. You hear about stuff that happens. I think it's an effort, but you know, you get someone who is just absolutely hell bent on doing something destructive. They'll be destructive, and you know, I don't. At first blush, you know, oh gosh, the sky is falling. I don't think we're there, but I think it's just kind of, in my opinion, that's just kind of where we're at. And boy, wouldn't we hate to not be prepared and then it'd be us. And yeah, I don't
just look ahead, anticipate. I think it's good.
The crime prevention is taking away the opportunity for something to happen. And that's really what we're trying to do, is take away that opportunity. So.
I'm going to interrupt you here, and I guess the gentleman from the DMV, and I've still got your card here, Mark, maybe if you or Davey want to give us some feedback on your thoughts or what, or, I mean, I know he's kind of dropped your names there a few times. Anything you'd like to share with us? It doesn't include you being deputized, does it?
He's going to get a badge.
Did he have a badge?
He has a badge. He just showed me.
I'm a junior deputy. When Gus did ask me to get involved with this security, as far as the lobby area, I think that will work well. I've always had concerns with our handicap entrance. When we did that handicap entrance, it was just, you know, for that, and now it's going to turn into our main entrance. That I can see where it's probably going to be, you know, a little awkward sometimes if we're busy. But other than that, when people do come into the building to walk through the process, I would think it would go pretty quick. So that was my main concern, though, is the east doors, how we have trouble with the wind blowing, you know, holding an automatic door open too long and things like that. If somebody's coming down the ramp and going up at the same time, it gets a little crowded there. But other than that, I think once they get in the building, it would work pretty smooth.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Morning. I'm Mark Segerstrom. I have spoke here before. I'm the supervisor for the Southeast part of Nebraska, District 2 for the Department of Motor Vehicles. The department values our relationship with the county sheriff here. We have a panic button that's installed in our room, and you know, we enjoy the relationship that we have with them, and they're just very local to us. They've helped us out a number of times. Sheriff was very nice and spent some time with me about 2 months or so ago and kind of took a look at this plan, and he was able to share some of the ideas that he had with this plan with me, and I've been able to think about that and share that with my supervisors in the department and whatnot. We believe that there is a need for security. I am also working with the boards in Jefferson County and Saline County. They are in the process of assessing their security needs there, and with an addition and whatnot. They've been very willing to work with us in that regard. I think my primary concern and our administration's primary concern is that of traffic flow. We have about 4,000 interactions with customers annually here in Gage County. And unfortunately, because of some of the requirements of our department, those customers are in and out frequently. They don't always, on their first appearance, those 4,000 interactions are documents that are issued. So those interactions frequently require multiple visits, or for applicants to come and go and get additional paperwork and whatnot. We also perform on busy days, Mondays and Tuesdays, of course, 15 to 20 drive tests, where staff are in and out of the office all day long, performing Class O drive tests, bus drive tests, motorcycles, CDL drive tests. And again, I think it is a matter of processing people through in an efficient manner. And I think, you know, where the DMV's office is and the emergency management office is, and Tim is here, because on Mondays and Tuesdays we have such a high traffic flow, I see that as an issue. Sheriff has said, yes, initially any change, you know, customers are going to be upset with that. The other projects that I'm working with in the other counties have also been receptive to some of our concerns. And I believe that, you know, we're not necessarily going to be inside that ring of security in these other courthouses. With the high flow of traffic that we have coming through in Wilbur and Fairbury as well, there'll be a different entrance for entrance and exit for the DMV office there, which will also, you know, create less of a burden on the security processing as well. So that was my concern and my reason that I was hoping to talk to the board today about this. Yes, the security is an issue. We've all seen it in the news. We all know what can happen. But I think it comes down with a high volume of traffic that we see here on Mondays and Tuesdays is how can we efficiently move the most amount of people through with the least managing security but the least impact as well. Any questions?
I do stop in to visit with your staff from time to time, and they're outstanding. They're very friendly to their customers, the people who have needs, and they try to be very accommodating. And I just wanted to share that with you. I think it's very important that the people that you have working here are very good.
Thank you very much. I do want to say Dave and I have also talked, and because of some of the security issues, when it is busy, our customers sitting on the stairwells and whatnot, which that becomes a fire issue, an exiting issue. So we are, Dave is putting in an intercom system that will, you know, try to move our customer base from waiting in the lobby there around to that west wing there. And I think that'll be helpful and hopefully help with some of the other issues with that. And so, you know, Dave is moving forward with that, and if we can set up some seating over on that west wing and whatnot, and hopefully address one of those issues anyways. But thank you for your kind words.
Questions?
No, not question. I guess just more for reference for everybody. So, what this proposal is doing is moving the DMV office from where it's now down and around the hall, or not, or no, it's leaving it. See, earlier we talked about moving it. So,
could be just the seating area would move further. To
the seating area. So they wouldn't be sitting in kind of the lobby. They'd be sitting in the west wing more, right, or whatever.
Yeah, and we moved the vending machines further west.
Okay.
I've been just kind of waiting until we had this meeting.
Because, you know, a couple months ago or 3 months ago or whatever, then at one time the proposal was to actually move it into the, I call it the break room or whatever. So we're not, now we're not.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Questions?
Yes, sir. When are you looking at implementing this, the board too?
We wanted to have a discussion, okay, give an opportunity for people to read this, and I appreciate Gus getting this packet to us and the presentation today by Brian. So I think the goal would be to, if we decide to do this, then we're already behind. So, you know, we have to make a decision of how we want to secure this. So I guess my thoughts would be in a couple weeks, the next 2 weeks, come back, and we can have a resolution and outline how this needs to take place to give these folks some, you know, we know what the recommendations are. We're going to come back in 2 weeks. I think we're either going to take action or to some sort, because if we decide to do nothing, then we're going to tell them to do nothing to continue as So I would say in 2 weeks we need to move forward with doing something.
I might suggest you set it in as a closed session so you can talk about some of the more intricate issues and then come out, you know, just for the
In 2 weeks we'll have a closed session to discuss security at the courthouse, and there will be action afterwards. There'll be a resolution coming after that. So there will be a closed session. That will be the context of that. Will be more specifics. And
if the board opts to try it, it won't be just overnight. It's going to take us a little while to get things situated, and we'd probably do things in the evening. So the next day, you'd be good to go, and we'll start off that way. So if I might not be at the next meeting, but I'll make sure everybody else is here to make sure that they're around. So,
I guess my point is, if you had a startup date, assuming it progressed normally, we're looking at probably 2 months out from...
I'm guessing 30, 60 days.
I just don't want people thinking that they're going to come tomorrow to the courthouse.
No, we did do that, obviously, I'll be talking to these guys.
Yeah,
I'll be well in advance, so they know. Yeah.
And if you need more time and you need more information, you know, we can talk about it in closed session and just decide to not take action. You know, we can do that, but I don't... You know, that's the will of the board, and we can do that. But I think that we have information here, and if we need more time, and contact me or contact Don or the sheriff and say, you know what, I need a little more time on this, we can still talk about it in closed session to get more of some of the very specific points that you may have that we can talk about. But.
And we have a packet that was given to all elected officials and department heads, and then we did meet with the safety County Safety Committee as well on this a few weeks back. So we've tried to cover every base. Apologize, I didn't recognize the gentleman from DMV because we had a conversation that day, but it was good he came down and contacted us because that has been an issue. I talked to the director of DMV, might have been last year even. We get complaints sometimes, been pretty noisy down there when they're full. And so when Dave talked about moving to that west side, probably a good idea to get the congestion out of there no matter what happens here. But
Terry's okay with it, with Norma, everything's okay.
Yeah, they're looking forward to it. Yeah, they're very much so. Yeah, because they see it lessens liability for the county, obviously. So they're always in favor of something better for planning. And he did say, I said, has there been any talk about the counties that are trying to make some efforts to some kind of a benefit for me? He said, well, he laughed and said, it's funny to mention that. He said, there was some talk about doing something on premiums on the counties that were trying.
That's right.
So that was good to hear. At least worth it. Efforts would be not for naught anyway. So
you're in favor of that agreement?
Yes. Anything to save money, Danny. That's what it's all about.
We would all be in favor of that.
So anyway, all your questions get answered. Myron, you had some? Terry, you're way too quiet. I know it's not a road. I could tie a road into it. But we did. We did put a lot of time, and we didn't jump to this. We've visited a lot of different places and talked to a lot of people and spent time putting a packet as simple as we could get it there to look at and water it down for you. So, nothing else. Appreciate the time. Anything from the committee you want to address that I've left out? Anybody? Okay. Thank you.
I guess the other comment I'd make at this time, I can see some need for it. I mean, there's needs for a lot of things, you know, as far as safety and, you know, but I'm not sure if it rises to this level or not, but...
Well, it and again, John, it's where you're at. This has been what I've been doing for 40 years, and of course, like everybody, it's going to that across the country, and I always, just at the office, I like to get in a proactive mood instead of reactive. So that's what it's all about, you know. And so if a guy can do it without a lot of money, I wouldn't be up here if I needed $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, I wouldn't even think about it, but... The thing that really tied it in and made it happen real quick is we got a really good deal on that x-ray machine. And the real reason we're not using it right now, we've been trying to figure a way to get in the elevator and up to the third floor, and it's just not working very well. But anyway.
The only thing I will say is, you know, it looked to me like this will not make the county any more efficient. If anything, it's going to be going the other way. But if that's what we have to do, I guess that's what we have to do. But I can see this being... the other way, rather than what most people have to do nowadays is be more efficient, we're going the other way.
Well, it depends. If you're trying to protect somebody's life that's working here, I guess, when it's not being a lot of money involved, I guess I don't quite see how it's being inefficient, other than we have to spend time doing it. That I'd agree, but there's a lot of things in the office that has made it, when I first started, we didn't have jail standards. Now with jail standards, that seems like we always have to do is deal with jail standards. Does it make us more inefficient? We spend a lot of time on it. Hopefully it keeps us out of lawsuits is the reason they're there, and that's why I keep telling staff. It's there for a purpose. So that's what this is all about. If we had an opportunity and something happened tomorrow, I would just be sick that we at least didn't give it a try for 6 months. And that's what I'm asking for, is just 6 months. And I will tell you, in Columbus, they have, I think they got supervisors up there, don't they? I'm not for sure. I think they had seven. And one or two of them, after they tried it for a few weeks, were starting to have some constituents say, hey, you know, it's kind of a pain and all. And so two of them voted, and they still went 5-2, and they kept it because they felt there was a need. And I think they have a few more issues with gang issues up there than we have here, obviously. But so, I mean, obviously you have to realize you'll have some resistance to it.
So what you're proposing, just a six-month deal?
The proposal is six months to try it out, see how it works, and then we come back and meet again and review it. Yeah. Because I think it's important we do that so we all know. Because by then, you have heard from people in your area, and we can address any concerns they had, and we see how it's going. So that's all we can do.
Keep in mind, it's change.
It is change.
And nobody likes change.
I mean, a lot of Roger's compadres that come from, like, Lincoln, Omaha, know the system. They come through, and they automatically have the briefcase down, and I think they turn the belt buckles up, don't they, Brent?
Yeah.
They just know the system, and I know they appreciate it because they're just used to it, and it's...
Like
it's,
I said, we become accustomed to it.
Yeah.
You go up to the federal building, you go through two of these to get to the court, not one, two. You know, you were talking about that, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been that way for... You hate to say it, but that's what we become accustomed to.
Yeah.
When we talk about efficiency, you build that in. If I need to be to work in my desk at 8 o'clock, I better be here at a quarter to to go through the screen.
Was the Chief Justice, did he have any problem with our security last week?
I don't think the security was any problem at all.
All right, okay.
No,
I just
didn't
know about that. I have a problem.
But you're also talking about the court there.
Yeah,
well, the court system.
Well, but the federal building has everything, Social Security, all that stuff. And you got to go through that initial screening place, and they do your briefcase. I mean, you walk in there with a tape recorder or something, you're back out in your car. And then if you go up to the, I think it's fifth floor where the court is, you go through another one. So, but again, like, I know the... And it's similar. They've got other offices there that you would expect to have as much, volatility. I think the point, like Brian said, you never know on third floor what's going to happen. But sometimes these people meet out at the cars and then bring it in here. Mm-hmm. And it can happen right in front of Ruth's office or Don's office. It's sad. Nobody... I don't like to think of this. I mean, Dave's been working with us about how we're going to, have more visibility up at our fourth floor, because right now it's tough to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that idea, but I'd like it less thinking that maybe one of my employees would get hurt because I chose to disregard what's happening everywhere. And I think that's the feeling you people are going to have to make that decision. I don't, we're going to hear the grumblers that come in to pay the taxes. Well, solution, put the check in the mail. And I don't want to be flip about it, but I don't envy you.
The sheriff wanted me to point out that both Judge Corslin and both Judge Tim have signed administrative orders that we have on file that that no weapons or explosives would enter into the courtrooms, and or beverages and cell phones are not supposed to be in there as well, and also that to give us some teeth in the administrative searching that we do on baggage. So in case, so we have that behind us, holding us up, propping us up if we do find something, and have them return it back to their vehicle. So both of them have been very helpful. As far as my staff making sure we get our jobs done, so we've implemented a lot of changes up there. Some of them are very subtle, but make a big difference. So we don't want to get anybody hurt. So anyone, an inmate, a
Anyone.
Even a supervisor.
Even a supervisor.
That's yeah, right. Except, well, you know. Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
All right. I think we've gone through the agenda, covered everything we needed to, took action on. I think anything else for the regular board meeting? We'll clarify the committee meetings because Don needs Columbus Day off. And Davey does too, apparently. So, and Tim and...
Sure. We're doing committee meetings when?
Well, the 10th is probably the day because that would have to be the Friday before because the courthouse will be closed on Monday.
Yeah.
So, but there was some discussion about doing them at a different time. So we'll see. Maybe contact Dawn if morning, if there's a different time that would work better because we'll have to give notification because that is a public meeting. We'll have to give notification.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I can have Michelle come over here, or, but if you want, want, you know, we'll be back. I'll be back in the later afternoon from the meeting, but that's your decision.
But other, I mean, if you're out the meeting yet, but Denny'd be gone too, but I mean, one of your office people will be here, Michelle or whatever. Yeah.
Well, John is always wonderful to fill in for Terry and I when we aren't there, so for finance. So as long as you're here, Dorn, we're okay.
Yep. All right, we will adjourn the Board of Supervisors 11:10.